Chapter 10. Get Page Turner. On the inside of the great golden house of Page Turner, Alice and Miss Penipause's eyes were greeted every which way by rapid movement. Each scroll was allotted a number and assisted by a grey-looking administer, up and onto a long bench. It soon became clear to Alice and Miss Penipause that this long bench was a stationary conveyor belt that winded its way up to a platform which displayed a large, empty, orange chair. The scrolls dutifully did as each grey administer directed and lay belly up with only their feet still angling at 3:15, showing where one scroll ended and another began, all the while singing a song called Tush Tush.
My author impresses upon me, I am the most perfect page. Not just a little bit, more like a lot of it on this recommend stay. My author's imagination reaches the curb in the sky. Not just a little bit, more like a lot of it on this recommend stay. On this recommend stay, Page Turner might say, she loves me very, very much. Roll me over and say it again. My author impresses upon me, I am the most perfect page. Not just a little bit, more like a lot of it on this recommend stay.
What a most curious arrangement, said Alice to Miss Penipause, as they moved themselves discreetly behind a very tall pillar. I cannot for the life of me admonition what is going to happen next, said Miss Penipause, though I feel sure if I were to blink, I would miss something of someone somewhere. Alice suddenly became aware of their surroundings picking up and moving. That is to say, the pillar moved, and they, Alice and Miss Penipause, ushered after it. It was only when the pillar began to speak did Alice realise what was going on. "Silence in the assembly!" hollowed the pillar, oblivious to its two erroneous companions behind. "My name is Colum Inches, and I can announce Recommence Day is of the time."
"Colum Inches," muttered Miss Penipause, "isn't that..."
"Yes," said Alice, picking up the thought where Miss Penipause had dwindled off. "He revels in Page Turner's judgment and writes Colum Inches in newspapers." Alice looked upward and estimated him to be well over 10 feet tall. And as Alice's eyes shimmered across towards the great ministers, it was by no exaggeration to say, every administer straightened their backs, pulled in their tummies, and wordlessly challenged to reach Colum Inches' towering height. In contrast, a happening at the door presented itself, whereupon a rather stout, red-haired young female with jangling bracelets stomped flat-footed onto the raised platform, wearing a gold power dress, and upon her flaming hair, a gold pork pie hat, its pastry crust in the shape of a crown, with a contrariety of large gallinaceous feathers spiking the inharmonious air. She surveyed the room with bold intelligentsia, before squeezing herself small onto the orange chair, which bravely creaked and strained with screams of malevolence. But the female merely dug her heels into its upholstery to show she was not a person to be moved.
"This is Page Turner," thought Alice.
giving Miss Pen a pause, a knowing look, and pulling her into a fixed shadow of safe remove as they watched Colm Inches glide his way towards the platform before coming to a stop once beside the newly occupied chair. With a little efficient clip of the hand, Paige Turner pinged a bell and the conveyor belt sprang into action. The first scroll moved to a stop beneath Paige Turner's bulbous gaze. Colm Inches handed Paige Turner a pitchfork and a cutting saw, and with one volatile movement, Paige Turner pinned the scroll to the conveyor belt with a three-pronged instrument. The scroll gave a squeal of terror. Alice and Miss Penopause brought their hands to their ears. "She is merciless," thought Alice, staring at Paige Turner's jagged movements as she cut a corner of the scroll clean away. "Don't dispute with me," blazed Paige Turner to the scroll. The scroll could do nothing but quiver and shiver as Paige Turner brought up the laden fork to her nose. Her nose, both Alice and Miss Penopause noted, twitched effervescently. "I detect an aroma of sentimentality. Yes, rather self-effacing." She glowered with not a twinge of self-consciousness as she expanded a disapproving look at the forkful before dipping it into hogwash sauce and taking a huge disrelish bite. She closed her lips round the written paragraph on the fork and began to chew with the power of hodgepodge justice. Alice and Miss Penopause held themselves together remarkably well as they compressed the urge to scream in tune with the poor scroll. Miss Penopause whispered into Alice's ear, "Is this really how reviewers test out an author's creative writing?" "It would seem so," said Alice, and citing their scroll, she added, "But just you wait until Paige Turner eats her own words. I'm perfectly sure this could make all the difference to her unsightly behaviour, all the difference indeed." Paige Turner broke into their forward thinking by speaking her mind. "This scroll is written with flourishing swirls that I demand the author tames. A most disappointing effort." She jabbed a finger at the scroll, who, not quick enough to react, found himself rolled up by the swift hands of Colm Inches and slotted into a pigeonhole labelled Notoriety. "I think Paige Turner may have Big Dame Syndrome," wheezed Miss Penopause. "You know, too big to do the little things, when really she's too little to do the big things." "She's probably just a frustrated writer," said Alice, more to herself than to her companion. "They get everywhere. Perhaps Paige Turner's motto is, do not attempt to improve anyone, especially if you know it will help." Time passed, and the damning pigeonholes were filling up to such an extent that they threatened to be overfilled. The restless pigeons cooing within the holes were looking as ready as ever to take flight and deliver the notorieties to their instructed destinations, but the bell pinged again and again, indicating yet more taste testers, and such comments from Paige Turner followed. "Too heavy-handed with adjectives. Next!" Or, "I call this piffle writing. It is mere typing." Or, "Someone should tell these so-called authors that if they are told it would make a great novel, invariably it will not." At long last, Alice and Miss Penopause's scroll came to the attention of Paige Turner. "I dare not breathe for thinking I may affect Paige Turner's concentration levels," whispered Miss Penopause, as they teetered to the edge of the shadow. It did not escape Alice that Paige Turner carried a mild look of surprise as she set to tattle their scroll. They fixedly watched her lips condensing from her usual slackening to a thin drawstring pull, which resulted in an uncharacteristic curl of the mouth, the kind of curl that wasn't contemptible, but showed more than a hint of something that pleased her. This, Alice was quite certain. Paige Turner cut deep into the scroll for a sample, but the scroll did not scream like those written in the style of crime fiction, nor did it giggle like those written in the style of comedy fiction, and neither did it give out a delirious sigh like those written in the style of romance fiction. It simply remained silent, indicating it was a factual piece. Paige Turner breathed in the scroll's fragrance and began to speak in an unusual softened voice, almost dreamy. "I feel a sudden, how do I explain it, nostalgia," said Paige Turner. "Just the right amount of seasoning, punctuated by meaning." She took an eyewash sample of words from the fork and began to chew. The first chew was slow and deliberate, and from this she excelled to a fast chomping. And before anyone could have demanded second portions, Paige Turner cut into the scroll with great exuberance, the sort of exuberance Alice and Miss Penopause had not seen until now. "Yes, yes," went on Paige Turner. "This is the most original and yet familiar taste in the same mouthful. Why, I feel certain I have tasted a winner, a sure-fired darling. Oh my, this is truly a page-perfect scroll, what will undoubtedly have the unwritten approval from me, Paige Turner." Grunting through mouthfuls of words, she demanded Column Inch's full attention. "Call the word sphere luminaries and let them know of this great news." And within moments, the whole of Alice and Miss Penopause's scroll had been completely devoured by a greedy, guzzling Paige Turner. "I want the rest of this creative writing from the author to be forwarded to me in half a shake's time. Do you hear me?" Then, with a faraway look in her eyes, Paige Turner said more than with a twinge of envy. "I only wish I had had the foresight to have written it myself." And this was when Alice and Miss Penopause seized their opportunity and stepped across the edge of shadow. "Paige, Paige Turner, I demand your undiluted attention," hollered Alice across the assembly room. There was a sharp to the taste silence, a silence Alice took comfort in, while Paige Turner looked momentarily out of sorts. "Gate crashers," spluttered Paige Turner to the right of her. "Gateway crashers." She strained to the left and reconsidered shouting some more, only she needed a glass of Reddit wine from her on-hand frog footman in order to clear her throat, which she did, swilling down the last of Alice and Miss Penopause's page-perfect scroll. By which time, Alice had climbed onto the platform and had begun addressing Paige Turner some more. "We have an announcement to make to you, Paige Turner," said Alice, not hiding the revelry in her voice as she lent Miss Penopause a hand and pulled her onto the platform beside her. Paige Turner narrowed her judicial eyes on Alice as if to locate her exact moment of conception. "Do I know you? I feel I have been aware of your sort before. Who are you who dare tread on my recommence day?" I am coming to just that, said Alice. If only you will be patient.
Patient? Said Paige Turner in one long breath as her voice rose in pitch and she stretched herself up and off the high chair. Who gave you permission to enter here and speak at me? Me, who's used to speaking at others, not being spoken at.
Paige Turner savagely gulped down the last of the wine, then threw the empty glass at the nearest frog footman. Alice went on speaking her long practiced words of thought.
Has no one ever told you, Paige Turner, that kindness is inclusive, whereas envy is exclusive?
What? What is this language she speaks at me? Paige Turner looked haughtily round for someone to provide the answers.
Toxic words! She ought to be marginalised!
Piffle poffle, said Miss Penapause, suddenly finding her voice. This language you hear, Paige Turner, is the language of the authorpreneur, and you have been found out for the gourmandizer you are. Paige Turner gave a perfunctory cough. Alice went on.
The scroll you have just consumed is indeed faithful to the damning book review you plan to release against myself, Alice, and my muse, Miss Penapause.
Paige Turner took to blinking rapidly as she tried to formulate Alice's words into some kind of meaning.
And I am pleased to inform you, said Alice rather grandly, that the words you speak so enthusiastically about are indeed your own.
My own? Expostulated Paige Turner. How incredulous! You come here and state at me. She clenched her hands into tight fists and thrust them down by her sides as though she might start a Rhonda Belliana gig.
Do you not think I would recognise my own words?
I'm sure you would, said Alice, but I place them in a different order to disguise this very fact.
Hullabaloo, you are but fools. Do you know what you are saying and the fallout that it would incite? Why, I'd be sure to choke on them, said Paige Turner, as she clutched at her own throat and then her chest, and Alice suspected a slight heartburn might be overcoming the reviewer.
Oh, yes, said Alice, working in a few darkened tones. And there is no anecdote to eating your own damning words. Mortified, Paige Turner rasped with amazing bad grace to Colm Inches.
And what use are you to me? Why haven't you disposed of these encumbrances which talk at me? Why, you're no more use than a chocolate teapot.
Shocked into a loud silence, Colm Inches' delayed response was to start singing at Paige Turner, much to her expanding annoyance. This is the song he sang. Exclamation marks.
When you talk to me with exclamation marks, I know it's over, but I can't stop loving you. It's too late, we've turned out the lights in Blackpool, and a lie can only exist where there is truth. For the love we came to know won't bridge the gap between our minds, oh no, no. When you talk to me with exclamation marks, I know it's over, but I can't stop loving you.
It was rather unfortunate, thought Alice, that Collarminches had not the chance to sing the second verse, as the object of his affection bamboozled him by throwing the nearest frog footman at him.
How typical of a male in a crisis! Can I not have this all to myself? Cried Page Turner, jumping up and down on every other syllable she spat and spluttered.
This is not about you, Collarminches. This is about me. Me, me, me. Then turning to Alice and Miss Penapause, Page Turner managed to say,
And I swear, you two are as rare as a row of turkeys looking forward to Christmas,
before submitting to another round of unscheduled splutters, punctuated here and there by a cough that grew larger and larger and rounder and rounder.
It is most rude to cough over someone else's words. Has no one ever told you so? Said Alice, for she had not finished her reprimand speech.
I'm not coughing, gasped Page Turner, whose face was now turning to the same colour as the orange chair.
I'm choking.
And as the choke went on to shake and break and wake the walls, it was only dampened by the pigeons who began to claw away at the notorieties, so much so that an unprecedented flurry of paper confetti began to shower down and blind everyone's vision. And within this movement, the paper confetti began to shimmer and glimmer and shine.
Oh, thought Alice, this is just like looking into a looking glass, highly reflective. And if I look through my eyes and narrow my gaze until it becomes quite exact, I could swear this is in fact a looking glass, which brings me in mind of the looking glass question. And suddenly I know the answer.
And as Alice contemplated these thoughts again, she found herself feeling disorientated by the storm of confetti, and she felt herself falling out of the story, and leaving the place she had come to know, the place where Miss Penapause lived, the other side of the looking glass.